Hello and welcome to another episode of Matinee Mondays here on the Remnants of Reese's Remember All. Today we're doing an older episode. This is one of the episodes that was mentioned in the channel trailer, so take some time, sit back, relax, and please remember, all of the socials are outdated, and enjoy.
Welcome back to another episode of Robert's Reviews. Today, before we hop right into this, I just want to take a moment and go over some quick news. Something that I came across not too long ago and was a little upset by. I did share this to the Facebook page, and I will probably be making a post on Twitter about it here in a little bit, so it'll be up before I release this episode. But Lexi Rabe, the young lady who played the role of Morgan Stark in Marvel's Avengers Endgame, has recently come to be bullied and harassed, and so have her parents. Guys, this really isn't okay. The fandoms have already chased off other actresses and actors off of social media from the angry, violent, and toxic behavior. Let's not add a child to the list. There's a lot that needs to be addressed and made up for, and just be kind, please. Now that that little PSA and bit of industry news is out of the way, I think that we can get right into today's film, which is Free Fall. This is an LGBT drama romance film from Germany. Some of you may be familiar with one of the lead actors. He was also in the Netflix original series Sense8. Per usual, I am more than likely going to be screwing up names and having a interesting time trying to get my tongue around foreign language. Usually not that difficult for me to handle, but we all are aware of how it goes when you are, you know, reading and it sounds different in your head than it is actually pronounced, so please bear with me as usual on this, but I wanted to take a moment and throw out that bear with me notice as usual. All right, so I've covered the genre. Apparently today I can't speak, so that's the perfect time to be doing this, right? Alright, so, it does have the rating of NR, or not rated, but, I'd say it would be a, rated R. There is quite a bit of nudity, and there is a full frontal male nudity in this as well. So be forewarned. If that's not your cup of tea, that's fine. You can go ahead and skip right over this. But I did want to get this film reviewed because we are heading out of the primary Pride Month. It is still kind of Pride season for some areas, so still going strong there. And this is one that I do actually highly recommend. You know, it may be, you know, drama and romance and everything else, but it is a good take on, you know, the struggles of identity and coming out. But it's more through expression than words. We'll dive into that. The film has a runtime of 1 hour and 40 minutes, or an even 100 minutes. I was not able to find the budget anywhere online, so if somebody knows that, I can do an edit at a later date and throw in the budget if that matters to anybody. It did have a return of 500,000, just shy of $600,000. This was directed by Stephen LeCant, or I think it might actually be Stefan LeCant. He also wrote this with Karsten Dahm, and the music for the film was put together by Durbeck and Doman. Freefall stars Hanno Koffler as Mark, Max Remmelt as Kay, Attila Borlan as Brandt, Katharina Schüttler as Bettina, Oliver Brocker as Frank, Stephanie Schofield as Claudia, and Shenya Lasher as Lipinski. Alright. I had seen this on Hulu, and I did watch the trailer for it beforehand. I wasn't really sure what to make of it. A lot of the LGBT films, a lot of the community-based films are kind of oddball, or, you know, they would fall into a B-rated movie area where things just kind of seem forced, unnatural, or clunky and awkward. So I was expecting more of that, and I can say that I was pleasantly surprised that it was a film in a different direction. Not that that is a bad thing at all. And if you've been listening for a while, you guys have probably heard me say, or, you know, following me online at all, you guys know that I love that weird, campy, left field, just seriously B-rated stuff. So a lot of community films, a lot of the LGBT films are right up my alley. Life is full of cringe. Life is not seamless and beautiful. It's harsh. It's clunky. So there's a factor of realism that I like about these films, and that I like about the stylization and the genre in general. It just has something about it that is fresh. It's real. It's not going to BS you. Yeah, when you force things, it's a little clunky and it just takes you out of it for a moment. But typically, generally speaking, films like that aren't, you know, that bad. They're pretty good. So my initial thoughts after all of this was that it was probably going to be some silly, poorly made LGBT film that is not going to help the community and in any standing, even though I kept seeing, you know, everywhere that it was a must-see film. There were posts made on Tumblr and some things on Twitter and Facebook about, you know, different movies you need to see if you're, you know, LGBT. So I've been slowly making my way through these, and this is one of my favorites. GBFF is also seen as a good film, and to me, it's really not. You know, it was said to be in the same league as Free Fall. And I guess somebody could make that case. I mean, if you want to argue this at me, I'm down to, you know, have a debate and, like, cringe off, I guess I want to say, you know, get that cringe going. But coming at it realistically, I do think that Free Fall was miles better than GBFF. And as a heads up, there's a sequel planned for this film. So if you are interested in knowing more about that. I will be talking about that a little later on, and I'll also be putting links in the description for the episode about how to keep an eye on all of that. And we're actually out of the phase of being able to donate to be able to help produce the movie and to get it made. They're now in the stages of getting the sequel in the hands of producers and more conventional manners of financial support for film, which to me, I love that they went to the crowd, they went to the audience first and went, "Hey, you want to help out? We're going to start with you because then it might be easier for us to get this movie made." And that, I think that's kind of cool. With that being said, there's not a whole lot for me to go into with my notes, but already there's been a few tangents. So we're just going to see how this goes. Bear with me, and we will get through this, I promise. All right, as my first note up here actually says that it's all in German, so prepare those subtitles and get ready for this. It really is all in German. And someone who goes through periods of time where I have only about 50 to 30% of my hearing, due to a high wax buildup. Subtitles are almost always on. That and I tend to watch quite a bit of anime in the original subs. So this really wasn't too much of a stretch for me. It was just a little disconcerting because there was, angry German coming at me rather than, English or, standard Asian languages coming out of the speakers at me. So it took me just a moment to get used to that. And there's, of course, the joke earlier about how German, even in its most loving, can seem a little angry and aggressive, which is kind of true, but also meant as a well-meant, loving joke. All right. It opens with a interesting use of setting. They're training to be cops. Your main characters come up through training as police officers together. And both of them have this thing for running, which kind of takes me back to this whole thing with Angels in America and that whole thing of do gays take a lot of walks? Yes, I'm sorry. Like, it's like what? What? That's a whole nother movie, and that's a whole nother mess. I mean that in the most loving way because I actually do really, really love that movie. But we'll get to that one at some point, I promise. But Mark and Kay are two main characters. They have a moment in the woods, passed off as a prank during a shotgun of a blunt where Kay gives Mark a kiss. Mark was clearly a bit into it, and he actually seemed a little bit more surprised by his own emotions than the kiss at all, which also was a little strange because he also seemed to, not know what a shotgunning is. But, different strokes for different folks, I mean. But yeah, he seems to be the type of character that needs a lot of hand-holding on almost everything through the movie. It kind of portrays him as a little dim-witted. So all in all, while this isn't surprising that he doesn't know, it also is like, is it part of his character that he just doesn't know things, that he's kept himself in a bubble? Or is it just that, he tokes on occasion but doesn't get too into the whole thing? There's a lot that the movie just kind of leaves up in the air and out in the open for open discourse and discussion, which on one hand is really cool, but on the other has me going a little bit more on the dialogue, a little bit more on exposition, and out in the open character development would be a little nice. But then again, that would be a lot of reading because people being angry or in high emotional states and doing a lot of talking or yelling, which is talk yelling, in some of these movies, it just, well, in a lot of movies, realistically here, it can be a lot to read. It can be so much to read. And that's pausing, rewinding, hoping that the subtitles reinitialize in the proper sequence and they're not out of sync. So it can become a whole mess very quickly. So just as a warning there, if that's your style, there's not a lot of that in this movie. If that's something that you're just like, no, if that's your style and you can handle that, cool. But if not, it's kind of one of those. It doesn't happen very often. So those who watch telenovelas, you guys are going to have a couple of moments where you're going to be reading at a normal pace and not feeling like you're moving very slowly. Also, another joke. I'm very jokey today. I can't talk and I'm very jokey. I've also been learning French, but I'm going to be one of those people someday very soon. I'm hoping very soon that can ramble on at a very fast pace. Yeah. In a foreign language. Yeah. Let's do this. Or as they would say on FBE React, or rather Boston Tom would say, let's go. But it's a little later on, while on a run, he makes a move. He's just kind of feeling the situation out. He's got an attraction and he's trying to figure out if it's mutual or if it's just one of those things, you know, where it's like curiosity or what. And that's just kind of me trying to put this all together because, like I said, there's a lot that's just kind of up in the air. Mark resists only to give in. Like, they start, he's like into it, but like also trying not to be into it. And they have their moment, if you know what I mean. And once it's over, he bolts. Mark just bolts out of there and leaves Kay in the middle of the woods. And after this moment, he just packs up, packs it in, and returns to his family and joins the police force. Like, gone, go, right out of there. Kay is assigned to the same place as Mark. And there is immediate tension because, you know, plot. They got assigned to the same place. You wouldn't have a plot otherwise. So plot convenience brings them to the exact same department. Kay doesn't seem to be bothered by this at all. Like, he takes this in stride. He's just like, kind of like, oh, you're here. Cool. That is until he meets Mark's pregnant girlfriend while he's hanging out with a coworker. That was an awkward moment. And from between the time that Mark leaves the training, but between Act 1 and Act 2, there's implied character development that we get very, very mild hints of throughout the film. So this is one of those places where it's one of those moments that is like that. Mark gives off this impression throughout this whole movie, and especially this earlier portion, especially with his girlfriend and having Kay in the same precinct. He seems to be very self-aware of who he is, his orientation, and everything that makes him who he is. He's very self-aware, and it very well makes the beginning seem like he's kept himself in a bubble and now someone has come along and recognized this pattern of behavior and said, no, don't lie, because we can't be lying to ourselves and to each other and to the world anymore. We have to be visible. We have to be seen. So in his own way, Kay is just kind of like the guy who goes around and pops bubbles. Or at least in this case, he very well just saw the bubble and went, no, no bubble. Yeah, that crab from Finding Nemo would be very, very sad. His bubbles. Was it a crab? I don't remember. It's 1 in the morning and I'm doing this, so you're just going to have to forgive me. And that would be my dog. While Kay is the kind of guy who pops bubbles, or at least popped this bubble, of security and safety, he did end up backing off with the offer of quote-unquote jogging again anytime, which Mark takes. And when they meet up, they skip the running and get right into other extracurricular activities. After this, their relationship blooms in secret at the expense of Mark's primary relationship. Now, his baby is almost here. Very, very, very pregnant girlfriend. Just before the baby arrives, though, Kay pushes for more and for Mark to come clean to his girlfriend. He's like, I don't want to be your dirty little secret. I don't want to be hiding in the shadows. I don't want to be the one who is sequestered to the shadows anymore. You know, we're here. We're not going anywhere. So why should we have to continue to hide and be made to feel bad over who we are? Which, on one hand, it's kind of like, okay, this comes into like a whole different ball game. Like a whole different thing is going on here, because you've got a relationship that, from all accounts so far in the film, doesn't exactly seem to be solid and stable. It just kind of seems more of a familiarity and comfortability rather than passion. And it is also made to come off that Mark is the one trying to convince himself that this is exactly what he wants. When in reality, it may not be what he wants, but he's trying to convince himself that this is what he wants. Probably because he has a child on the way and his family and friends are the kind that are going to be pushing for him to do, quote, the right thing. But we can never know what the right thing is going to be until, you know, the option is gone and our ability to make the choice is gone and the choice has already been made, whether by us or for us. So this is where things become a little bit more sticky and tricky in this whole movie. Because when the baby is born, Mark cuts off all communication with Kay. He just ghosts. And the two have a fight where Mark exclaims that he's not gay and it was a one-off with Kay and that he's a father now. So he has to be their first son. So he's making the choice. He's made his decision. But the way he delivers it, the way that the lines are delivered, it seems like he's just saying what he has to say to maintain something that is socially acceptable, that is able to be held up and go, yes, I'm proud of this thing that I did, you know. For whatever reason, I don't know exactly what's going on in Germany with same-sex relationships at the time that the movie was made, but it definitely gives the air of the fact that it's, you know, not a socially acceptable thing, or that, you know, the region of Germany in which they're in and that the movie is taking place, it seems to be a very conservative area. I know that for some here in the States that there are those areas, because there are those areas in you know, everywhere. And there are those professions where it's very difficult for someone to be of a certain persuasion or a certain identity. So compounding those, I guess, would not be exactly the best thing for them to do. However, Kay is willing to put themselves out there and on the line for this, and Mark has already had an established relationship, so there's a lot of things that are complicated that are going on here that aren't exactly, like I said, they aren't exactly said. They're left open, and I think that makes it easier for people to identify with one of the characters, or, you know, blanket identification with people who are struggling with something in their lives, especially when it comes to being part of the LGBT community. Less can be more, because it can mean that you can identify with the circumstances of this character if they're left vague enough, but also in other ways specific enough to where you can go, yeah, I feel that pain. Which kind of gives things a compelling nature, because it allows you to project what you want to see, what you want to think, what you want to feel onto this character without them really having to do a whole lot of work. So on the one hand, it's very well done that way, but on the other, as someone who does watch a lot of movies and TV and audiobook listening and comic reading, book reading, you know, who ingests stories in all their forms, and with our media today, ingesting this in all its forms, all of storytelling across all mediums, can be a little bit lackluster when you come across a character who's just kind of a little more flat than what you're used to. So I don't necessarily put the blame too much on the acting. I look more to the writing. But then again, there is this genre, this style of storytelling that allows you to be able to project. So while that may not exactly be the greatest thing for this, I do think that in an area where, by area I mean a time frame, where things of this nature are still very polarized, that having this and being able to sit your family down or your friends down or the people that you know down and tell them, hey, look, here's a list of media that I want you to, you know, go over, and then we'll talk. This would be good for that. I don't necessarily think this would be such a good one to sit down with your parents and watch, unless you have that kind of a relationship where you can do that. Not many people do, because, you know, there's that awkward feeling there. But overall, there's a sense in this film of easily being able to identify with all sides of what's going on. It is very well acted. The cast, the main cast, did a phenomenal job. It was just vague enough to where they could implant, you know, whatever emotional seeds that they needed, that they wanted to implant, and just go. So they brought it. They really did bring it, which is one of the reasons why I think that this movie was, you know, heralded so much by the LGBT community. And I stand with the rest of them going, yeah, if you're part of our little community here, you should watch this. So, I mean, even if you're not male at all, male identifying at all, it's still a good one, because it's also a little less about a gay relationship and more about LGBT struggle in general. And it's done in a very nice way. Anyway, side tangent kind of on pause for now. Because right after this, the film gets weirdly paced. And by that I mean it does jumping. Like time and place jumping with little to no context. This is all from Mark's POV and his struggle with himself. It just kind of jump. And like I said, there are, you know, male full frontal scenes. So if that's not your thing, go ahead and skip. But for those who are like, it's about time, yeah, this may be up your alley. If nothing else, but for, you know, equality. That's the tea. Well, more like it's the Dr. Pepper, but whatever. Same principle. At this point is where the movie gets its name, because they had the fight and it takes on Mark's POV and it kind of leaves Kay out of it. But when Kay does come back up, he is in a total downward spiral, a free fall, if you will. The hard part is always watching someone take a free fall downward spiral of any kind, because those of us with, you know, total compassion for others, it's difficult watching someone suffer like that and not be able to help them and not be able to be there to comfort. And it's meant to spark up that emotion. And Max does a very good job as Kay to show that. This is also the point in the film where the other officers turn on him. And it's very, on one hand, it's brutal, but on the other hand, it could have been a lot worse. And this turn really kind of comes in when he's picked up by the cops at a gay bar during a raid. Kay makes light of the situation by cracking a joke in the shower. He really is just trying to lighten the situation and put everyone at ease and remind them that he's still one of them. Whether or not they think so, he's just trying to just put everything back to normal and go on with his life. And Mark, he takes it upon himself to show up at Kay's place and give him a lecture, give him a good old talking to, and remind him that the raid had been planned for weeks, and he starts slinging accusations at Kay. And just kind of being the angry, angry little lover that he is. And of course, he had to go back. Whether or not he consciously knew it or not, I don't think that he may have been fully consciously aware when he made the decision to go over there and yell at Kay. But this little mini fight that Mark brings up and starts, this is where true feelings are expressed and love is had between the two. Like, full real love. Like, that is fully expressed. And Mark is angry because he won't be honest with himself and others about who he really is. I've seen people in this place. It can be very difficult, and it's not an easy place to be. It's torment. It can be literal hell for some people to be going through this and then to not be able to be out in the open, even when they are 100% sure of who they are and what they want and what they like and what they are. They just have this moment where they just completely break down and can't stop hating themselves. And that's tough to watch. And it was an emotion that was very well portrayed on screen. Shortly after this whole scene and this little explosion of drama and passion breaks out, Kay is harassed and he gets in trouble for fighting back and ends up injuring Mark in the process. The squad lead will do nothing, and it's kind of giving off the feel of a, like, 1970s through 1990s America with the LGBT community, in many regions where, these things happen and under normal circumstances, something would be done about it, but because you're different, we're not going to do anything. We're going to overlook it. You had it coming because you're different. Why can't you just be normal? Insert meme here. But the fact is that it does kind of ring true. And not only with the LGBT community, but also with schools. This whole zero tolerance for bullying stuff, where a good 80% of the time, the victim is the one who's expelled from school because, oh, you're weak, you're a distraction to this other kid over here, you're the distraction, you're the problem. You had to do something to initiate it, you had to do something to deserve it. No, you don't do anything to deserve it, but other than exist. You don't do anything to egg it on other than exist. You went to school that day, you went to work that day in this case. You are alive, and therefore you are a problem to this person for no reason other than they may not like you for whatever cockamamie bullcrap excuse they're going to come up with in order to beat the crap out of somebody that day because they know they can get away with it. And that's honestly one of the reasons why Kay has been doing this, other than the fact that he's trying to just get rid of himself and feel something. At least that was my interpretation. That and get Mark to out himself to come to Kay's aid, which is kind of a manipulative way. But when you're in a downward spiral, you don't care who you're going to hurt and who you take with you. So he's in this weird place that just, it drags you down, sucks you in, and it turns into a black hole where you just want to take anyone and everyone with you. And it's terrible. And there's an out coming for Kay and for Mark as well, and that is coming up. With the squad not doing anything and with that reflecting bullies and things like that, where people can just get away with being terrible and mean and cruel. It hurts and it sucks. At the hospital, Kay shows up and the two share a tender kiss. And Mark's mother, well, she sees this. She's in total and complete utter shock. She berates him after getting, after getting away from people and in a quiet place and everything. She berates him, saying, "We did not raise you to be like that." And he kind of goes off and storms off, but she keeps his secret. That is also one of the things that kind of happens as well, He got lucky that this happened, because for so many people, they don't get that. And that's one of the things where, someone might be going, "Oh, I wish that had happened," get yelled at, but then not be outed. Bettina welcomes Kay with open arms at a party. Bettina is such an aloof girl. She is such an aloof girlfriend, and she, many times she's just referred to as girlfriend or her. Somebody is allergic to BS, because that really kind of is. She does have a name, and that name is Bettina, the mother of Mark's child. She welcomes Kay with open arms at a party, right? And Mark's parents then corner Kay and threaten him to keep away from Mark. Mark catches on to what's happening when mom, dad, and secret boo lover are not there outside, and he does nothing to help Kay at all. He just kind of stands there and is like a little kid who got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. Like, "Oh, I know I did wrong." You were living, Mark. You should have been honest from the get-go. You should have been open from the get-go. And by this point, it's very, 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 I can't say very enough, so I might say it a few more times. Like, it's very, 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 very obvious that living two lives has begun to wear on Mark. And when you lead the dual life, everything becomes too much. It becomes too much stress. It becomes too much worry. And you just start crumbling. And that's exactly what happens to him. Now, Kay is being more open, and Mark ends things for, the sake of his family, only to have Bettina leave him because she found out. The whole thing, the whole thing is just kind of like a tropey cliche, but it also happens a lot in real life. Y'all leave your phones unlocked and you are cheaters, you're gonna get caught. Sorry, Mark. You did. Well, then again, this is kind of like an older phone, so I mean, you just need to cover your tracks a little bit better. But I'm not trying to I want to like this guy, but at the same time, he's an idiot. All right? Because it's not easy being who you actually are in this kind of a situation. But it doesn't excuse the cheating. It doesn't. It can't. But at the same time, he needs to be able to... It's complicated, okay? It's complicated. It's messy. And there are people who live for complicated and messy drama. Honey, give me some just straight up, easy to deal with A to B mess, okay? Complications like this just make my head hurt, because it's like dividing lines, who do you like? Who do you not like? Like, morality is a thing here, and it really kind of pushes that, where you just want to bash everybody's heads in, and she's one of them because she didn't realize this sooner. But, they have that kind of high school sweetheart vibe going on, and the only one that the other has ever been with. Oh my God. So it's it should have been very obvious a lot sooner that something was definitely wrong and something was definitely going on. And honey, shouldn't have been taking no for an answer. Shouldn't have been taking, "Oh, I don't want to talk about it." Well, you need to find somebody to talk about it, and you need to open up to somebody and get your head straight. Okay, I realize what I just said there. Get your head straight. And that's the whole problem with this movie. Everybody's telling him to get his head straight, and he's over in Rainbow Land. And that's okay. Yeah, somebody out there is just laughing hysterically. So to you who's laughing hysterically at my bumbling through the English language, congratulations. I'm going to be laughing when I listen to this later, too. So we're on the same page. At the moment, I'm just kind of like, great, this. And this, you know, this kind of situation, as well as another episode that I've been kind of putting off doing, The Ritual, they're difficult topics to talk about because LGBT matters and matters of faith are a little hard for me to work around at times, simply because, you know, it's a touchy subject for a lot of people, and I want to be able to address these things without, you know, angering everyone that ever existed ever for any reason, but also be able to, you know, have an open discourse about, you know, different paths and different ideas from different perspectives and people, and that's kind of what this is about. So I will be getting around to doing The Ritual, hopefully next. That one has kind of a special little place in my heart. I know a lot of people really didn't like that one, but too bad, boohoo for you. I loved it, and there are reasons why, and we'll get into those at a later date. Right now, we're stumbling through this one. More Dr. Pepper. Yeah, if there are two things that fuel my life, it's confusion and Dr. Pepper. I almost never know exactly what's going on, but something's happening, and I have Dr. Pepper. That's it. So, there were moments in this movie where I just took a drink and went, I have no idea what's going on, but I'm going to act like I do. So, she's found out. Bettina has figured it all out, you know. The phone gave it away. The extra phone gave it away. Here's where, and this is why one of the stalling tactics I just used, and I have to come around to this. This movie falls right into, you know, like the media byline, and the byline that so many people use is that being bisexual is a bullshit lie. It's not. I know quite a few bisexual people, and it's not a lie, okay? The only reason why people think it's a lie is because gay people have used, oh, I'm bi, as a way to transition from being, you know, seen as straight to living openly as a homosexual. So a lot of people are like, oh, you know, and also a lot of straight people, straight girls in college, will also say, oh, I'm bisexual, and do a drunken makeout with their friend to get the guy that they want to go home with them, to actually go home with them. So using the line of, oh, I'm bisexual, you know, there are many reasons why. Those are just two of the big predominant ones that are continuously being addressed within the community right now, where it's like, y'all need to stop because you're not helping. So, I mean, in Mark's case, it very well may be that he actually is bisexual. We don't know. We are not inside his internal monologue. We don't have that. I mean, it would be really helpful for this movie, because having bisexual visibility would be amazing for the community. And not having someone who's bisexual seen as just like this flippant, you know, new lover every 20 minutes, I'm looking at you, Lucifer. Also, it might not actually help because a lot of people tend to see bisexuals as cheaters. So, I mean, you win some, you lose some, kind of, maybe. I don't know. But there's a realism that kind of completely sets in with Mark. You know, the hurt that comes from stepping out of the closet and the fallout that can come from it. He's not in a good place. And this is the point in which he starts to enter into a downward spiral of his own. He starts to enter into his own freefall, one that Mark has already been in and is trying to navigate. And Mark's just now been shoved out of the plane. Where Kay jumped, Mark's been pushed. Kind of unaware of the fact that he's been pushed and is starting this free fall. Kay at least was aware of what was happening. He knew. So that's the thing. That's the entire difference between the two. This is also where the whole movie comes to an end. The lack of understanding bisexuality and an ability to love more than one person is clear in the world that they live in. And sadly for many, this is their reality. People don't believe in polyamory or bisexuality, that either one of those things can be real and are valid. They don't believe that it's valid to carry on a deep, loving, emotional relationship, not only with more than one person, but to be able to fall in love with a person of, you know, on one end of the spectrum, and then a person on the other end of the spectrum. They don't believe that, you know, that can be a thing. And that really hurts the visibility and these communities, because it adds to the struggle when these perceptions are reinforced, which is one of the reasons why I really do want to see the sequel to this, because I think that all of this will be addressed, that this kind of erasure will be handled better, more appropriately, and in a much better way, in a better context. And holy, Mark is left in a full-blown emotional free fall. I mean, he's unable to do anything but go on living alone. Bettina has left him, and Kay is just not part of it right now. He's having to deal with so much more. After a while, you know, because as any reasonable person in this kind of situation, you find out that your partner is cheating on you, you're gonna, like, leave. And that, you know, this has been going on for a long time, and they're actually, like, full-on I love yous. And in this kind of a scenario, it's completely understandable that she just packed up the baby and left. But after a while, she returns. She's angry and distant. And it kind of comes off that Mark's parents were the ones who made her go back. They may have pushed her to go back because the love of the right woman can do anything. While in some cases true, the love of the right person for anyone can, well, move mountains. And this is one, I still don't really understand this, but she, like, goes full on assault mode. She just, like, comes at him while he's in the shower. And goes into a full breakdown. It's very, very clear that the arrangement is not going to go well. And that's completely evident. I mean, they are so distant and toxic and angry with each other all the time. And most of it is her. And it's completely understandable. And he, when it comes from him, he's reflecting it back, and he's mad at himself, and he's letting it out on her, and they're no longer good together. They're no longer good to be around each other, and something's gonna have to give. Gregor, one of the fellow officers within the, precinct, pieces it all together and starts harassing Mark. Like, he comes after Mark in an aggressive, demeaning come on. And beats Mark for leaning into it. And you know, that whole, oh, you know, harassment of, oh, you want to do this, you want this, you know. So Mark leans into it and kisses him. One heck of a way to get him to stop, but it also got him beat up bad. This sends Mark into a similar spiral Kay was in earlier on in the film. Like, it parallels very similarly in the emotional spectrum range. Whereas Kay just wanted to feel something else and to put up a form of protest of, I'm not going anywhere, this is who I am, this is my life, this is what it's like, you know, the old moniker, we're here, we're queer, and we won't disappear. Mark just seems kind of like he's looking to get hurt. He's looking for someone to hurt him, to put him out of his misery, whereas Kay was just kind of like, no, I won't be invisible anymore. I won't sit in the shadows and hide. You're not going to put me back into your little box. I won't do this. And Mark's breakdown, I'm not sure if this was like his full, you know, rock bottom, because some people have hit what they thought was their rock bottom and ended up coming up and smashing through the bottom into another barrel or bottle, whatever analogy works best for you here. More like it may have been his rock bottom when he tries to hook up with a rando at a club, but he can't do it, and he ends up breaking down further. Like, for whatever reason, he can't do it. He can't get, whether it's Bettina and everything that's going on there out of his head, or if he just can't get, you know, Kay out of his head. For whatever reason, he can't do it. So Mark and Bettina fully split, and he goes back to the training barracks. So I'm not quite sure if it's like a training area or what it is exactly. It just kind of seems like a holdover kind of place or something. But he returns to where he was in the beginning of the film, and he's all alone. Now, I like the final scene of him running in the pack, and then he breaks ahead and alone. He just starts getting more into himself and breaks away, because when he and Bettina fully split and everything, the first time, the reason Kay wasn't there is because, well, he wasn't there. Like, the last 10-15 minutes of the movie, he's like absolutely nowhere. He just up and like left. He moved, he disappeared, he couldn't take it anymore, so he just left. The fact that he himself now has returned to the beginning of the film, you know, that same place, it's coming full circle. But also, he's not there as the same man that left the first time, you know. And it really does strike kind of a chord, because I do like, you know, that final scene where he just, that final little bit where he just kind of pulled ahead, where he wasn't going to fit in with the crowd anymore. Well, at least that was the imagery that spoke to me. That's how that played off, that he wasn't going to be part of the pack anymore. He wasn't going to be, you know, another cog in the machine of the man, as it were. So movies like this are odd and sometimes dangerous territory, as the media can display us in the LGBT community all wrong, even in the writer's room, and can get things wrong, like bisexuality, polyamory, gay relationships in general, and, you know, the struggle that we face, you know, coming to terms with who we are and coming out and dealing with the world in which we live. Okay, as much as we are in a global society, thanks to the internet, that infancy is still an infancy for a globalist society. And many times the world in which we live is much, much smaller. It's very small, very confined, and there are times where it can get a little bit bigger, and there are times where it can get a lot smaller. So having, it's all about getting things right. And with situations like this, there is no getting it exactly right. It's never going to happen. You're never going to get it exactly right because the language of bisexuality and within the LGBT community is always changing. It changes. In some cases, it's like a monthly meeting update that a lot of us just don't get. So we're like, we're not in the big cultural centers to be getting updated like this. So it can be tough for even us to keep up with our own community and expecting, you know, Hollywood writers and, you know, people to keep up on that kind of treatment. It's difficult. But at the same time, it felt like this was trying to point a light on just the struggle that someone faced with coming to terms with their sexuality and the havoc that it wreaked and the destruction that it brought to their life and how they ended up just losing everything and having to start over. Because that's what the coming full circle is it's a chance to fully start over. You end where you began, so it is a new beginning. That rings true. And there's a lot of times where within the community, that's kind of the thing, where you have a chance to start over, moving cities or, you know, starting over with a new family because you got thrown out, you know, whatever your circumstances are, you know, where someone disowned you or you just had to get out of a toxic situation just to save your own skin. There are times where that loop is real. And that's one of the things that the writer for this, the writer and director, he got that right, you know. Stefan, he understood that. And that's not a theme that's exclusive. It's not an exclusionary theme. I do think that this film can be viewed through multiple lenses. And I honestly think it would be more fun to talk about this with, you know, all of you, to hear what you guys have to think, what you have to say about it. I loved it because of how vague it was. But then at times it did get specific, and it felt like it was speaking to someone else in the audience at that time other than, you know, whoever it was that they were speaking to before, or, you know, me, or, you know, a friend. So it's definitely a movie that is out there. It's out there in a way where it's a little more universal. Some might say that it's representation for representation's sake, and then it backs out on that at the last minute. But it seems like this is going to be more of a saga that there will be at least one other film, and I'm really hoping that the sequel is out, you know, in the next year. You know, I'll even give it 2021, you know, to come out. Because I really do want to see this one. There are questions that need answering. A Journey's Unfinished. And while normally that would be fine, in this case, I think that an expansion and being able to tackle other areas of the LGBT struggle through the lens of these already established characters would be something that would be appropriate. You know, for many sequels, everyone likes to focus on, oh, they're having trouble in paradise, and that's like the main focus. You don't really need that as like a theme to hit on. There are other themes. You can have a strong relationship, or, you know, you don't need them to have broken up. You don't need that. That's a bit silly. I understand not being able to get the actor back due to scheduling conflicts and things like that and yada, yada, yada. But having a strong relationship with these characters can provide sustenance to a film. and navigating those waters, you know, the us against the world routine, which can be a little daunting to write and a little bit annoying. However, when done appropriately, it can be very, very good. And that's something that I don't think that the second installment's really going to get into. I think that the second installment, from what we know, is going to be looking more at the two of them finally getting together. So kind of an act two to the whole story as a overall story, act two. If we do get a third one, it can tackle, you know, other things and then give us, you know, the strong couple that's been together for, you know, a couple of years, and now it's us against the world. You know, we're out here experiencing life together, we love each other, and, you know, this whole idea that nothing lasts forever, it's kind of, while true, it feeds into this idea that nothing is worth fixing, nothing is worth salvaging, and that, you know, you just need to find someone who's going to love you as you are for right now, and that's going to be good enough. That's not always good enough for everybody. We're just going to have to wait and see what the sequel brings. I'm sitting over here theorizing and fan theoring over here. Crap. That's not what I was intending to do, but apparently that's what I've done, and yeah. So that's a thing. Back completely on track here. Max, the guy who played Kay, he really is a good actor. He showed a very wide and broad, strong range. He's got the chops, as he showed in Sense8, which, in all honesty, that is pretty much the only reason I gave this a shot, because he was in Sense8 and he was very compelling there. Like, even being stuffy at times, before he opened up, you had this sense that he was going to open up and that, you know, he was going to have to get out of his own head. That made this easier to watch, knowing that he's going to be able to pull this off. And if he's one of the main leads of this film, cool. And he did. He brought it. He slam dunked that. Also, you know, if we're being completely honest, being good eye candy doesn't hurt, which he's also got the natural charisma. He could definitely be a Bond type. That natural charismatic, you know, attitude. It just kind of oozes out of him in every role, and it's awesome. And not only does he have that natural, like, Bond charisma, but he's also in front of every camera. You know, for whatever reason, the camera seems to like him. And no, it's not just me, it's the camera. As I said at the beginning of the episode, I will link to all of the pertinent information for this, the Indiegogo, the website, all of that other stuff. Even, you know, with the Indiegogo closed, I will still put that in there, because it does have some interesting information and tidbits that will help guide to other media places to keep an eye on all of this. This film, and I'm gonna say this, this film, when it comes to the music, used it sparingly, and it was very akin to Drive with Ryan Gosling, in that sense that it used it only where it really needed it. Otherwise, it was ambient noises, and I think that's one of the other reasons why I really liked this, is because it had that sense of surreal, like, very, it was surreal for a film, but it was very realistic, also in that same sense. Like, it was very, very, just, there were moments where you could have heard a pin drop, and that was done on purpose, and that kind of filmmaking is absolutely brilliant. And, you know, the fact that it was ambient noises and not manufactured silence and manufactured sounds really gave it something a little extra. There really isn't too much in the way of music to be able to go on. I mean, heavy breathing, because you can't really see my face when I do that, because it's just kind of one of those, okay, I want to have something to say about this, but I don't. So I'm just going to huff. Kind of like your dog when you tease them with a meat snack and then don't share. They give you that huff of, I have words for you, but I can't say them because I'm a dog. So I'm going to look at you and you're going to know what I mean. You have betrayed me. You have hurt me. But this is more like, I want to have an opinion. I want to be able to say something, but nothing's there. So in closing, coming out stories tend to be a bit generic. They also tend to be about a feminine guy. These are more stereotypical, quiet, masculine men, which makes it easier for the other half of the demographic that's not yes, queen, slay, you know, the over-the-top stereotypical media portrayal of the community, for them to relate to, not retaliate to. Like, holy crap. Ugh. Like I said, me and language right now are not getting along. In reality, like, this shows the other side of the coin of what it is to be part of the LGBT community, because you do have the really loud, you know, even a blind gay man would go, oh, dear God, as Robin Williams would say. But you have that side, and then there's this side where it's more quiet and more, you know, it's not all of who they are. It's not their main part of who they are, is their identity. And this is one of those movies that really kind of showcases that, you know, it can be a struggle to deal with this facet of who you are. And even when you have accepted who you are, it can be a struggle to fully come to terms with it and accept all of who you are and be able to be honest, not only with yourself, but the people around you. And that's the point where it can become very taxing. It can become very difficult in order to be able to become honest, not only with yourself, but with the people around you. So in that regard, I think the movie does handle it as best as it can for the situation that it's set up, and realizing that no, it's not easy, and then you don't always have a happy ending to life and to your story is one of the things that really kind of, I think, drives the plot and will be a driving factor for the sequel. So with all of that said, for Free Fall, the German LGBT film, I will be giving this a final score of 3 out of 5. Because it is such a generic coming out story, and to me, those almost always fall flat. However, this is one of the better coming out stories. It is a little harsh, but in its reality, there's some things that could be worked on. It does have its faults, but in those other areas that I mentioned on both sides is why I'm giving it 3 out of 5 and not like straight up middle of the road 2.5 out of 5. So with all of that being said, I apparently have to go and give my cats some treats, so I will see all of you next week for another installment of Robert's Reviews. Good night and good luck.
Robert's Reviews is part of the Zion's Edge Network. And if you like what we do here at the network, go ahead and subscribe. You can find me over on Patreon.com at patreon.com/Robert Reviews, all one word. You can also find me over on Twitter at Robert_McPeak. And you can find us over on Facebook by searching Robert's Reviews in the search bar. So go ahead and give us that like, keep an eye out for updates and new shows as they become available.